This is New Horizons, the weekly program from Blind Citizens Australia, the united voice of blind and vision impaired Australians.
Ride our dreams down, future road.
Hello there, Vaughan Bennison once again with New Horizons. One of the things that annoys most of us at some time or other is when we access a website or a document which is inaccessible with our screen reading technology, whether we use speech or braille. We're going to talk today to Neil King, who's the manager of digital access with Vision Australia, about some ideas that they've come up with and things they've been doing over the past few months to improve that situation. Firstly, tell us, what is digital access?
We're a commercial consultancy, so a fee-based consultancy, I guess, within Vision Australia. So any money that we actually generate out of the activities that we do goes back into providing services for people which are blind and low vision. The actual services we provide, though, are really to assist government and commercial organisations to make their digital assets accessible. So by that, it means that we are actually working with these different bodies and groups to ensure that their website or their apps or their documents, etc., can be accessed by somebody with a disability or age-related impairment. I guess one of the things to kind of emphasise is that even though we work for Vision Australia, our focus is not just on visual impairments, and we cover equally all disability groups or impairment groups. Because really accessibility doesn't just affect, you know, one group. You can't just address it for one particular need because it's such a crossover. So, yeah, we try and make sure that we are very holistic in our approach and really try and make everything accessible or inclusive, as you could say.
Can you just explain for the listener how important is digital accessibility for websites and documents in today's age?
Well, it's vital, really, still. Things are beginning to change. Technologies are moving forwards, whereby we've now got APIs, and really that is, I guess, let's say the language which speaks between a browser and a website and maybe the assistive device that someone might use. These are becoming more sophisticated, and now, therefore, a lot of the accessibility considerations are actually being ingrained and put in place from the outset. But we're still a long way short of actually ensuring that things are accessible. So on the standard website, for instance, we still come across images that don't have any alternative text, which would mean that someone that is visually impaired will not understand any meaning or context of that image. We still come across a lot of instances where colour contrast is insufficient. So it could be someone with Erlein syndrome, someone on the dyslexic spectrum that can't actually visually read the text because of the colour contrast used, or someone with low vision could be struggling with it. And then we have other more sophisticated technologies such as ARIA and Bootstrap, etc., which are used profusely nowadays. And really that means that someone may not be able to use the keyboard alone because they have cerebral palsy or because they're blind and using a screen reader, so they can't use a mouse. And they can't even interact with a website. I.e. they can't actually even use the form controls or be able to just navigate and do the most common and straightforward of tasks. So really they are locked out of that opportunity to access information and engage online.
And that is a significant disadvantage. You know, often people will say to me, oh, check out this website and I'll look at it and say, or use this application and I'll look at it and say, no, I can't use that, even though it would be really good, really useful application for me, but I can't use it because it's not accessible. And frankly, that drives me absolutely nuts. Can you tell me how you go about remedying these situations?
Look, we have an advocacy department at Vision Australia, and obviously Human Rights Commission and lots of other lobbying groups out there as well that really kind of drive this presence forward and get the kind of acknowledgement out that something needs to be done. And then we go forward and then we work with these different organisations to assist them to actually make these products accessible. And that includes services such as auditing them against some actual technical guidelines that the Australian government has endorsed, these international guidelines. So we will assess a website or an app against these guidelines to make sure it complies. We will also undertake testing with people with different varying disabilities to make sure they really can actually use the product, because that's the gold standard. Can someone actually use this efficiently? And we'll look at designs, etc., to make sure that that they really are going to be supportive of everybody.
And I notice that it's not just websites and public documents that you're looking at, but you released recently a document accessibility toolkit. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, we received some very grateful funding from ACAN, and that enabled us to develop a concept we've had for quite a while now, which is to build a ribbon within Microsoft Word that enables people to actually create accessible Word documents. Essentially, it takes away a lot of the complexity which creating an accessible Word document can present people. Now, we've been running face-to-face training courses on creating accessible documents for some time now, and we've really good feedback. But we do realize that the job of a content author is really just to write the document. They just want to get into Word and, you know, start putting down the words that they need to convey their message. They don't want to be having to, when they insert a table, then try and find bookmarks and then provide a unique identifier. And this includes about five different functions just to mark up a table correctly within a Word document. So we said, well, how can we simplify this? How can we actually aid people so they can focus on the content and we take away all the hard work of the accessibility so really it becomes business as usual for them? So essentially, that is what the toolbar does. It's an add-in for Microsoft Word, and it automates many of the processes one would have to do to create an accessible Word document. And it compiles together a lot of the features that Microsoft already provides to actually help you create a document the correct way, which is also the accessible way. And it omits some of those other features that Microsoft provides, which actually can really hinder accessibility. So it's really a collection of core functions and new automated functions to assist the document author.
So is this something that you apply to the document once you've finished composing it, or is it something that you do as you continue to write the document?
Well, you can do both. We've got many people which have downloaded and are using the tool at the moment who are coming back to us saying, well, this is our standard ribbon. We don't bother going to file and insert, etc., because this has all the functions on we need. So when we put an image into a document, we actually use the tool to insert that image, which automatically prompts us regarding alternative text and even gives us the option of identifying it as a decorative image. And then all this information is loaded back into the Word document. We get others, though, which are actually using the tool really once they've created a document or going over legacy documents and validating them for accessibility. So once they actually have an annual report, they're now going back over it and marking up the tables correctly. They're running through the color contrast determinator, which is also built into the tool, and other functions to really make sure it's accessible. So people are using it for both approaches at the moment, which is great.
That's excellent. And I assume the toolbar itself is accessible?
The toolbar indeed is accessible. We have been limited somewhat regarding the accessibility, obviously, that Microsoft Word actually provides. But we then maximise as much as we can do the accessible support. And we've actually got a user guide as well, which provides the actual outline of what the tooltips are, because someone using a screen reader, for instance, doesn't get access to the tooltips within Microsoft Word. So we've collated exactly what those tooltips are for the tools that we've created and for the other functions, the standard Microsoft Word functions, which are combined within the ribbon to really aid people as much as we can possibly.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the training courses that you offer? Who are they aimed at?
We have a broad section of people who want to attend our training. We do a lot of in-house training for a lot of government departments, state and federal and territories. So it's really great to see that government really is starting to get on board with this. They've made a big commitment to digital first, and therefore gradually we're getting that and we're starting to see some impact of that. But I guess the big thing that we're really seeing as well is that we're getting a lot of corporates that are really coming on board as well, and design agencies. Those bodies which weren't traditionally kind of so interested in accessibility, maybe let's just say the awareness wasn't quite there, but it really has ramped up now. So one of the training courses that we provide is around actually creating accessible websites. So a bit different to our documents course. And we have a real strong commitment now. We run in-house again and public training courses for a lot of the big commercial departments, whether that's finance, whether that's some of our big grocery stores. It's really great to see those guys really leading the charge now. And I'd even say that really it's the commercial sector which is further ahead than what government is. And the government now is kind of playing catch-up, which is a nice way around.
It is, but it's quite remarkable, isn't it? Because, 15 years ago or so, it certainly wasn't the case.
Oh, no, it certainly wasn't. And I think even, if we went back, probably about 4 years ago, I don't think that was the case. The government started an initiative in 2010, which mandated that government websites all needed to be accessible against these international standards I mentioned. We never achieved that. We never got to 100% of government by any stretch. But it created an awareness, and it certainly did improve the overall level of accessibility for a lot of government websites. And I think the commercial organisations, the universities, those which weren't actually forced to follow the mandate, but actually looked upon it and thought, this is something that we should be taking learnings from, really did throw some commitment to it. We can't also take away as well the impact of some of the kind of more recent lawsuits which have actually taken place as well, really around commercial organisations and the impact that has had to really kind of drive and change the ethos of some of these organisations.
That's right. And when you consider the high numbers of people with disability in Australia, it's important for all organisations to consider the level of support that they give to people with a disability, especially with accessibility.
Oh, it certainly is. We often get pulled into this kind of perception that, it's just about a few blind people, and really it couldn't be much further removed. Research that Microsoft did identified that 57% of adult computer users in the USA would benefit from some sort of assistive technology or adaptive strategy. So that's over half the population. And I think we can pretty much, convert them stats directly over to Australia or the UK, etc. And when we look at the ageing population we have as well, and therefore as we get older, our eyesight, our mobility, etc. starts to deteriorate, we're talking about, well over 60, 70% of the population here, which is going to need some sort of accommodation if they don't already. So we're not talking about a few blind folk. We are talking about the majority of the population.
Well, Neil, thanks very much for talking to us. Why don't you tell us how to get in touch with you if people would like more information, or indeed how to download the Document Accessibility Toolbar?
Yeah, you can contact us at the Vision Australia website. It's probably the easiest place to start with because that's got all of our wider contact details. So it's www.visionaustralia.org. If you want to download, and there's a video as well which promotes, and I'd like to say a fully accessible with audio described and captions and transcript video talking about the toolbar in which Microsoft feature as well and are promoting it and really lending their support behind it. And that can be accessed at www.visionaustralia.org/DAT, DAT meaning Document Accessibility Toolbar.
Neil, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Vaughan.
Neil King, the Manager of Digital Access for Vision Australia. I hope you enjoyed the program. We'll be back next year with plenty more from New Horizons. My thanks to Blind Citizens Australia and to the RPH stations across the country for their support for this program. I'm Vaughan Bennison. See you next year. To contact Blind Citizens Australia about this program or any other issue, call 1-800-033-660. That's 1-800-033-660. Or email bca@bca.org.au. This program is also available on the website at bca.org.au.